We've tacked on the Niall O'Brien story a little bit late in our life for our liking, but he is a superstar in Irish cricket and last week announced his retirement from the game. We thought we'd track him down and find out what the hell has gone on. Niall, good morning.
Good morning. Good evening here. Good morning to yourselves in Melbourne. Hope you're very well.
We are very well and we're very pleased to talk to you, although I must admit I thought there might have been a few more years left in the old dog. What's happened?
Listen, all good things must come to an end, my friend, and you know, I'm glad to have bowed out at the top. It's one of those things that can't play forever, and I've come to the realization that plenty more in the world for me to do and achieve, and now is the best time to do it. So I'll go out with, as I mentioned in my statement, nothing but smiles and fond memories and lots of laughs and a few good days at the office, as it were.
A couple of ripping days at the office, and none more than that day you made it 72 against Pakistan in the World Cup in 2007. It was the number you identified yourself with in cricket on the back. Is that the moment when you look back at all the things you've been able to achieve in cricket that stands out?
It stands out, yeah. I must say that was a fantastic day. It was a long time ago now. I can't remember too much. I remember the game. I don't remember much about the night afterwards because, as I told you many times before, when we win a big game, we celebrate pretty hard. But that was a great night. It was a wonderful day. I was playing terribly leading into that game, so I was delighted to put a match-winning performance in. But we've had so many good days in the Ireland shirt. I think as a team, beating the West Indies in 2015 over in Nelson was one of my fondest memories. Chasing 320, brilliant wicket. Chasing down with ease with a couple of overs to spare. Being there at the end, 70-odd not out with my old mate John Mooney, knocking off the winning runs. That was a particular highlight. But as I said, listen, more ups than downs, which I'm sure a lot of sportsmen around the world can't really appreciate. But I'm delighted to have way more ups than downs. And as I said, I love the game. I love cricket. I love watching it, playing it. Whatever the case may be, I want to be involved in cricket. And it was a sad day, but at the same time, a good celebration, and the celebrations will keep rolling in over the next couple of weeks.
Niall, congratulations on a fantastic career. As Daniel said, there's been plenty of highlights, and you mentioned John, and part of that amazing group of Irish players have all been together through this journey. Is it even more special that you've been able to share that with your brother, Kevin?
Very much so, yeah. Myself and Kev, we're very close. We're obviously brothers, but we're very close friends. It's strange, really, when you have a sibling in the team, you hang out a lot together, but at the same time, you can be fairly frank with your siblings, whereas you wouldn't be with, you know, friends, as it were. But we've had great days. We've also annoyed the hell out of each other, and I've run them out a few times in very, very serious matches. So Mum and Dad haven't spoken to me on a numerous occasion. the darling little angel out. But it's brilliant. You know, everywhere myself and Kev have gone, Mum and Dad have followed, and brothers and sisters and wife have followed to support us. So it's been great. You know, I've said to you boys many, many times, I've never looked upon cricket as a job. It's always just been an absolute joy and a pleasure to do something I love for a living. And unfortunately, that's finished. But with one door closing, many more doors will open, all being well. So I'm looking forward to the next chapter.
Do you understand the impact you've had on the game in Ireland with your brother and that group we mentioned? Obviously, when you would have started off, would have been, you know, on small suburban grounds, but towards the end, no doubt you probably drive through an Irish summer and see grounds full of kids playing cricket?
Yeah, that's probably the kind of best and the biggest thing, really. Now, when I was growing up, you had to keep cricket a secret. You know, if you told people in certain neighbourhoods you play cricket, they'd try and beat you up. and nowadays, everyone in those same neighbourhoods are playing cricket on the streets and in the parks. So that's, you know, with all the World Cup wins and medals and trophies and et cetera, that's probably the biggest impact we've ever had, bringing cricket to the wider public of Ireland. And the kids love playing. They've got cricketers who are role models, which is never the case before. So, you know, certainly from that point of view, we can all look back and pride. And I'm very proud that myself and all my teammates down the years have effectively put Irish cricket on the map, not just overseas, but more importantly, in our hometowns and countries. So that's great, and hopefully I can be a part of that moving forward with the next generation, whether it be in coaching or, you know, other aspects. I'm looking forward to seeing how the next generation go about the business.
Last time we spoke to you was around that amazing test match against Pakistan.
Yeah, and I remember it well.
Yeah, and the significance around that. Is that the most significant moment for you because of, I mean, we can talk about the World Cup wins and just playing World Cups, but just to take cricket to the next level?
100%. You're spot on the mark there. You've earned your money this morning there, I tell you that, sir. It's one of those, you know, you're playing the World Cups, you're playing all these big games, but growing up, I dreamt of playing Test cricket. I dreamt of playing Test cricket up to 6 months ago, so before the Test match. So that was still my dream going to bed, very sad of me. But, you know, I grew up pretending to be Ian Healy or Jack Russell or Alex Stewart. And to get to kind of play that dream into reality by playing a Test match myself was absolutely unbelievable. And those 4 days, the first day I was washed out, those 4 days we played, we all just enjoyed it. And that was the most important thing. We enjoyed what we did. We gave it a good go. We had a great game against Pakistan. It went down to the last day. Everyone enjoyed. The crowd had a good time. The lads had a good time. Kevin got a wonderful 100. Murtagh bowled out of his skin. And for those 2 or 3 hours on the last day when we had them 40 before, the whole of Ireland dared to dream. But it wasn't to be. But all in all, it was a memorable 4 days. And I'm glad that dream became a reality for myself.
So looking back on it now, Noel, and sort of moving forward, what is that going to build some more momentum in Irish cricket? We've spoken about the frustration around the ICC and what they're doing with the next World Cup, but where do you see Ireland cricket now as you sort of walk off into the sunset?
Well, I think it's in a good health. I think there's a lot of good cricketers coming through. That, you know, Cricket Ireland are trying to develop their first-class structure, so I think that's getting stronger and stronger. It needs to grow. It needs more players playing the first-class game back home. They haven't got the accessibility of the county game anymore, so we need to grow our domestic game to have a strong first-class system. And the youngsters are coming through, there's no doubt about it, but they need exposure. That's the big thing. They need exposure to more and more better players, better competition, so they can get better quicker. So I think that's the next kind of cab off the rank, as it were. We're not going to be in the World Cup next summer, which is a shame. That's the way it goes. We didn't qualify, so we've got to... Yeah, we made our bed, so to speak, so we've got to lay in it. And we've just got to develop the next generation of players so they're ready to go and ready to beat and compete against the world's best.
A bit further to that, Niall, is it what format is best to expose them to cricket? Now, Test cricket is obviously the traditional game and everyone loves Test cricket, but is it more 2020? You see the West Indies, they've really invested in 2020 cricket and that's how they're attracting a lot of young stars to the game. Is it the really short format or is it still that first class, you know, 3 to 4 day format?
No, I think 2020 is a format that needs to be focused on. Unfortunately, you know, the Irish national team at the moment in T20 cricket is struggling. So they're going to have to really, really work hard to improve that over the next kind of 12, 24 months. There's plans in place potentially for a T20 league in Ireland in the near future, all being well, and that's going to be great exposure for the players. But the players need exposure in T20 leagues around the world, be it the Big Bash, the Caribbean Premier League. There's only one or two boys getting exposure to that. So I think T20 does grab the attention of the next generation. I think that's an area that really needs to be focused on. I think that's top of the agenda for Cricket Ireland.
So what are you going to do? Because cricket's been such a big part of your life. Are you going to keep playing at domestic level? Are you going to coach? What are you going to do?
No, I'm coming to take your job over there, Melbourne. That's what I'm going to come to do. I'm going to work in the media, all being well. My kind of number one priority is my media work. So I've been, over the last 2 or 3 years, I've been working within kind of TV and radio over here and for a couple of Asian networks. So I want to grow that, expand that. I'm working for a sports agency representing cricketers and rugby players, so I'll continue to delve into that market. And I'm a level 3 coach, so I want to coach. So I've got fingers and pies. I've always had fingers and pies, and I'll continue to... I could do having a few more fingers, but I'm looking forward to coming to Australia, hopefully around Christmas, to do a bit of media work, potentially, and some coaching. And there's some great places there, Melbourne and Sydney, two of my favourite spots in the world. So hopefully I'll get over to see yourselves in person rather than speak on the phone in the near future.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. And so not playing at all, or were you... You dabble a bit, or you're not sure?
I'll play a bit of kind of recreational cricket. They call it kind of corporate cricket. So for midweek cricket, very, very easy T20, not too taxing on the brain or the body, and a bit of networking along the side. So no, nothing too extravagant. Now I'm focused on the next stage of my career. I've got my first baby due in 3 days, so that's going to take up a fair bit of time. But all being well, I'll get to travel, watch a lot of cricket, coach and commentate.
Terrific. Look, we've really enjoyed following your story, particularly over the last couple of years chatting to you. And
thank you very much.
Congratulations on the career. And make sure you come and visit us when you come down.
I will. I definitely will. We'll have a coffee in the morning, and I'll take you for a beer in the evening.
Yeah, it'd be rude not to, Niall. But we appreciate your time, mate. Always nice to chat with that. Niall O'Brien, retiring Irish cricketer there after his 16-year career, 200-plus games for Ireland.